Hello and welcome to WP Cafe episode number 26 with me, Keith Devon, and Frank Klein, who is joining me today in place of Mark, who isn't available for this week's show. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Hello, Keith. Thanks for having me.
That's no problem. I should say welcome back because you've been with us before on a previous episode. So it's great to have you back on. Thanks for answering the call for our co-host for today. I'm excited to talk to you today because we're going to be talking about full site editing and the kind of direction of WordPress, but I guess specifically within an agency context. So for people like us at High Rise Digital who use WordPress to build custom websites for clients, I know a lot of my peers, for example, they've struggled with the transition into Gutenberg in general, but I think the full site editing is a step that people like us maybe don't really understand, like maybe the use cases for it, the benefits of it, how to take those steps. There's a lot of confusion around, you know, theme types. You know, we're talking about kind of, I don't know what the, you'll be able to tell me, like classic themes, hybrid themes, universal themes, block themes, FSE themes. So maybe we can get into some of that as well. But just, I'd love this conversation just to touch on where we're at today, what agencies like ours should maybe be looking at with the WordPress kind of, I don't want to say it's not a tech stack, but with the features that are now available, which ones should we be taking advantage of? Which ones are maybe best to leave for the future and things like that? So yeah, just love to dig into all of those things. I'd love to start with the question of theme types. I think because that's where I kind of see myself as like a theme designer, author, developer, whatever you want to say. And with all these different names for different types of themes, would you be able to just give me a little rundown on what they are and what they mean?
Right, so let's start at the end with the block theme. So a block theme is fully compatible with full site editing. And so that means that all of the templates are HTML files and they are entirely made up of blocks. So all the PHP stuff, that's gone. And the way you interact with this theme is going to be the site editor. So even creating a menu, you are going to use the site editor, right? The navigation menus. And so block themes get rid of a lot of the legacy. That's not really legacy. A lot of the things that we used before. So the navigation menu screen is gone. The customizer is gone. Widgets are gone. Mm-hmm. Everything is just blocks. And it's you customize it through the site editor visually. And so that's kind of the point at which 2022 is at, the default theme. But of course, this is a very specific type of theme, 2022, and it has downsides. So if you want to use some of the benefits that full site editing gives you, like the flexible editing, the better control over the block editors, then you go one step down towards a hybrid theme. So a hybrid theme, the big characteristic is that it still has PHP templates. Okay. So if you take 2022, you add a PHP template to it, that makes it hybrid. So because the thing is that PHP templates are not understood by the site editor. So you need to have a different mechanism for, you know, changing these templates.
So by PHP templates, we're talking index.php, archive.php,
right,
page.single, all that kind of stuff. Okay.
Right. Because when we look at the full site editing world, the template hierarchy that we as developers are used to is still there. But it's first the customizations of the users that are in the database that's taken first. So if you have customized a page of 2022 in the site editor, these customizations are stored in the database and that gets read first. Mm-hmm. So next up is an HTML template. If you have that, WordPress will pick it over the PHP template, which is then the third fallback. And so the way that you would create a hybrid theme is that either you take the block theme route. Like, for example, for my website, I'm converting it to a block theme, but there are still pages where I need a lot of PHP because of, you know, the sales process. So it's 80% all HTML templates that have a few PHP templates in there. And that works out perfectly fine together, especially because the sales templates are not, you know, changing that, you know, how you create an account and all these pages. The other direction that you can go, and that's what I did with Hybrid 2020, which is just an experiment where I took the 2020 theme and then, you know, added the theme.json, added a template for the template editor, is that you have your PHP layer, which is the base, and you layer stuff on top, like theme.json, maybe blog templates. But I think the theme.json, that's probably the biggest thing that you should be using now, even if you use PHP templates.
Okay.
So that's hybrid and block. Universal was the idea that was mostly from the WordPress.com theme team, where they said, we're going to have a theme that works both with the customizer and with the site editor.
Okay.
Not saying it's impossible, but it's very hard to do. And they never really delivered on that promise.
Yeah.
So technically doable, but probably I don't see the need for it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then classic is, well, all the themes we did before are now classic. But there's nothing wrong with classic themes, right? Because the difference, you can go from a classic to a hybrid theme within an instant if you just add a theme.json. So,
yes.
You know. But probably the biggest thing about classic themes is going to be the customizer, right? That's really, which is the big tool that people still want to keep around. And that's perfectly doable if you still have, you know, a hybrid theme. You can have stuff in the customizer, stuff that, you know, uses the block editor, and you can mix the two together.
So on a block theme, is the customizer gone? Like, because I thought like customization was the kind of next step in the Gutenberg project. Like, is it already gone whenever you develop a block theme or a full site editing theme?
Yes. When you enable 2022, you see that the customizer link is gone, the menus link is gone, widget screen is gone. So it's on the theme, it's just you know, appearance, just the site editor.
Okay.
So all of that stuff is gone. And the direction which things are going in is that, well, there are two things. First of all, they're exploring how they can put more things into the site editor, like, for example, the front page settings. You know, right now you need to exit the site editor, go to settings, change it back. And so that they're trying to roll that into the site editor. And also the menu that you have in the site editor to access your templates, all that, they are looking at using that for a lot more of the navigation for accessing your content. So these are all concepts, explorations that they are doing, but they are doing that because they want to do it, right? So that's going to come down the line at a certain point.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. So just to back it up a little bit, I think we'll get down into the more technical stuff again. Just before we kind of hit record, we were talking a little bit about the kind of general direction of WordPress. I'd love to hear your thoughts again on why we're going down this direction. You articulated it pretty well earlier when compared to things like Wix and you know, as the new kind of baseline. How would you describe the, I guess, the vision of full site editing and why it needs to happen, in your opinion?
Right, so I think that what we talked about previously is that we are kind of WordPress, you know, we have been around, we've been using it for a while. So we think that this is how we build websites, that's how it is. But really, if we look at the newer generation of people that are, you know, creating websites right now, visual building is the default. Like whether they go to Wix, Squarespace, even the tools that the hosts have, don't go in there and you have all of these disparate menus and, you know, meta box and everything. It's very much visual site building. So even the new generation of WordPress users, they are gonna, you know, first thing they're gonna see is 2022. That's the default when you start up with WordPress. And they are gonna click on the site editor. They're gonna look at it and they're gonna say, okay, this is how this works, right?
Mm.
And so the thing is just that when we have agencies and freelancers, I don't think many people start out with an agency or freelancer when you want to build a website. The first thing is, of course, when you have small budget, it's like the do-it-yourself thing. So they go to any of these site builders, they create a website. At a certain point, they need something custom. And that's where kind of we come in. And so if you then give these people WordPress in like the old sense, where it's a bunch of, you know, well, I have all these custom post types, I have all these meta boxes, and this goes here and this goes there. It's just super abstract. And oh, if we want to change this, you need to go to the reading settings. You know, it doesn't make a lot of sense. For us, it makes sense because we're used to it, but people coming from the outside, they are just lost. And so WordPress is just catching up in a sense with the low end of the market. You know, low end is maybe not a good word, but kind of the entry point of the market.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you cannot use the same tools to deliver very custom solutions, because you can use the site editor to have, you know, very much do-it-yourself building style. You can lock it down. It's the same with, you know, the content editor. You can leave it wide open. You can restrict it. So really the way that, that WordPress now works for developers is that this is the new framework for creating sites. And there are all these options. There's this big menu of stuff that you can do. And it's up to you to curate the experience for your users. Yeah. So, for example, a very simple thing is that, oh, why are all these blocks there? Well, if you don't like the blocks, then get rid of them, right? That's just a snippet. Takes you 15 lines of PHP to get rid of the blocks that your users don't need. And so that's just the thing where previously WordPress didn't do anything out of the box. And everything you needed, you had to add customizer controls, this, that. And that was the thing which you created. Now WordPress is very much, it does a bunch of stuff. And it's up to you to get rid of the things that you don't want your clients to have. And so this is the experience where the different types of themes that we previously talked about, you can still have a lot of control over the templates, a lot of your old approaches with how you create your templates, and still use a part of these customization options. And then as you get more comfortable with it, then you go further with the full, like, full set editing route. So that's the idea.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's really... really powerful. The fact that you can actually lock down the block editor, I think, a lot more than people realize. Because I think what I've heard a lot from my peers is that that's one of their biggest fears, is if I, you know, give a client the block editor, they can just do whatever they want and kind of completely wreck things. I know from our experience, we haven't locked it down as hard as we could. But we've built sites for clients who care a great deal about their brand integrity and things looking right. And there's lots and lots of ways that you can restrict the block editor to stop people making a total mess of the beautiful design that you've designed for them. And a lot more than even we've played with so far. So I don't think that should necessarily be a fear. I think there are challenges around that. Like previously, if you're coming from that world of, which we all did, templates, like everything was a template, and then we slowly got slightly more modular, maybe with things like ACF flexible content and things like that, and meta boxes and things, we could slowly get a little bit more modular, but still, like, the whole structure of a page was quite restricted. You know, the title goes here, the paragraph goes here, the image goes over here. And now we've got this world where, you know, you can nest any number of blocks within other blocks and, you know, completely change layouts and background colors and, like, font sizes and the whole lot. So I think there is a mindset shift that is needed, but that only comes with getting started, trying these things out, playing with the tools. but from my point of view, the freedom that's given us massively outweighs the problems that it brings. Because with those, like, closed template-based, like, websites, they were very frustrating for clients because they couldn't, you know, have that flexibility to, like, tweak things or create that slightly different landing page. But they're also very frustrating for us as developers because when those changes were requested, they were difficult to implement. It's like, well, and you have to keep being that guy who's like, oh, no, that's tricky. That's going to cost you. And actually now we can build solutions that are just like our clients love. Like it's really quite different. They're like, oh wow, we can do that now. It's like, yeah. And at a certain level, I think we work a little bit in the recruitment space, and there's quite a lot of recruitment website providers, and they're like platform based. Some of them I think are built on WordPress, some of them aren't. But what our clients tell us is that they're moving away from that kind of like closed structured system. They want the freedom. They want the flexibility to express themselves, to gain those competitive advantages and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, from our point of view, yes, moving down into this route has been a challenge and it's taken a mindset shift, but the benefits have so far outweighed the disadvantages. But I haven't, we still haven't, as High Rise Digital, we still haven't taken this next step into proper full site editing. And I just kind of want to explore that with you, because I haven't, I took your course. I should give you a proper introduction as well. So Frank is a principal engineer at Human Made. Is that, I think that's the correct term. And yes, he's also correct. Author of WP development courses. He's the instructor there. So your course, Frank, was my first introduction to full site editing. And I love the course and I love building that theme with you. But I got to the end of that and thought, well, that was nice, but I don't need to do that for my clients. So I'm just wondering what you feel, apart from the fact that this is just the way that WordPress is going, which is always a good reason to get involved. Apart from that, what are some of the benefits that you see of taking that next step from just block-based development into this like block theme full site editing world?
Right, so there are two things. So first of all, in terms of the course, I think you were one of the first students when I think the theme that we built in the beginning, I don't remember, that was a super ugly theme, you know, but that was the early days, and it was more early adopters to get people excited. Then there was, and now you build 2022, and the next step of the course, which we're working on, is really making it more adapted for the freelancers and agencies. So presenting all of these use cases that I meant with hybrid themes. So because that's definitely, you know, the direction that we need to go in is that saying, well, the next step is what you want it to be. I don't think that today I would build a client website that you made just completely full site editing, right? I mean, you know, the clients that we work with, they are very, you know, because the budget that we deal with is always very, very custom.
Yeah.
And at the moment, you can build very custom websites with full set editing, that's going to require you to do a lot of work. But still, you can get the benefits of both worlds. So in your case, for example, you launched a website a couple of weeks ago, maybe. Well, I looked at it, and the homepage, you could see that the homepage was built with blocks. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't remember the name of the project, sorry, but I saw it in the source code.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if you have a single blog page, for example, like a news post, do clients want to change that? Like, probably not, right? But the homepage, they want to change. So you can give them the opportunity to build with blocks. If you have, you know, an empty homepage template, and you give them kind of the patterns, all the tools to build that out themselves, but the rest you're going to keep as is. So that is kind of the direction. And so I think that what you've been saying is that if you were to do this with another solution, if you were to add a page builder, it would be very difficult to combine a third-party page builder with, you know, static templates.
Yeah, so, we don't have any experience with other page builders, so we've gone straight from like ACF. We were using flexible content fields to build semi-flexible page layouts. So we went straight from that because we didn't want to get into the world of like Divi and things like that. We've kind of resisted that, which I think partly was why we resisted Gutenberg at the very start, because it felt like we were kind of going in that direction. Maybe that's another conversation. But yeah, so we went straight from like ACF flexible content. So just moving like chunks up and down a page, there was no other kind of movement. So we would build some custom modules, like a content module and a, I guess, like the media text kind of thing, and the, you know, we'd galleries and stuff, and we'd build those as flexible content blocks, and then our clients could just like adjust those on a page, but only vertically. Like that's all they could do, stack them differently. So we went straight from that system into using blocks. So yeah, we never had any other expectations around page builders and how they can just do everything. So that was our transition anyway. But it's interesting because one of the things that I've noticed with the Gutenberg project as a whole, I guess, is that Mark and I tend to get to a point where we kind of resist, we resist what's going on with Gutenberg to some extent. And then we find ourselves almost like building that functionality ourselves and then realizing, oh, okay, that this is why Gutenberg's going that direction. The best example I can think of was we use like block areas. So our footer is a block area, which is Gutenberg block page editor. And you just go into that. It's a custom post type. You create a custom post type, you give it a title of footer, and that's what's output at the bottom of every page. And we're like, oh, that's great. You know, super flexible, works really, really well. And then I was like, oh yeah, that's full site editing, isn't it? Like, that's exactly what it is, pretty much. And then we've got like block areas for like archive headers and like all these different things. I'm like, okay, yeah. So that's what full site editing is now solving, is building those templates, like taking the full page experience rather than just, you know, the content, as it were. Yeah.
Right. And that's actually a part where it's the last two projects that I worked on at HumanMade. So one was an online publication that just got started. And then I also reviewed a pull request from an engineer that worked on our HumanMade like agency website. And they both had the same needs. They said, look, I want to customize archives. And so the workaround was kind of the same as you mentioned, right? We had a post type where you put your blocks in and then that gets pulled in at the top. And you know, it works, but to explain to the client, oh, if you want to customize this, you go over here and then you put it in here. And the preview doesn't really work because for the preview, you need to save it and go over here. So that's kind of where it falls apart. And as you said, that's when you see the need for something like full site editing. The trouble, though, is that you need to find out for the archives, for example, if it's just the archives on the homepage, do you really need to go fully block-based theme, or you can just have, it's mostly PHP, and then you enable the site editor for these sections, for example. Because personally, I find the site editor a much better experience for dealing with that kind of template than being in like the post view.
Yeah.
But still, to me, it's all about compromises. You know, whatever stage we were in development, we always did these compromises. And that's, I think, part of the difficulty of giving good advice, is that I can give you overall the big picture view. And I definitely, you know, want to have more case studies on my website to show how people do it. But specifically for your project, you know, I cannot tell you what you should do, right? You need to look at what do other people do. Is that a good fit for me? And then choose that. And it's always going to be an intermediary step.
Yeah.
I think for the next 1 or 2 years, at least, I don't think you're going to build a lot of big websites like full on full set editing. Right.
Yeah. And I think that's what a lot of people are struggling with at the minute. It's like a lack of best practice almost. Like, it's, you know, we used to be able to look at certain theme authors and developers that we kind of respected and be like, okay, I'm gonna follow their blog and I'm gonna like download their theme and I'm gonna do it that way. But things are just changing so quickly at the minute that it's hard to land on something that feels stable and foundation to kind of grow on. I've got some other questions for myself, but I wanted to go to a couple of viewer stroke listener questions. This one's a bit of a kind of, I don't want to say rant, it's not, but there's a lot in this without maybe asking maybe a specific question, but I'll read it out anyway. This is from Ben Kendall. Thanks very much for your question, Ben. So Ben says, his question is, what WordPress wants to be or what it is? Its strength has always been flexibility, but I'm not sure who the target is. Weirdly, the admin UI hasn't changed for years whilst completely overhauling the editor. E.g., my clients rarely complain about Shopify, but many hate WordPress. So there's a lot going on there. I think we've touched on what WordPress maybe wants to be and what it is. You know, we talked about that kind of baseline, love them or hate them, like services like Wix and Squarespace are doing things a certain way, and that's the kind of expected visual experience these days. So I think it made sense for WordPress to go down that route. I think one of the things that developers often struggle with is maybe the idea that WordPress is somehow for them, and it isn't. It's for people who run websites, and it is specifically a tool to make running a website really easy. And if that can, if that means cutting the need for developers out of the mix, that is mission accomplished. So I think that's all something we've. I don't know if you have any particular thoughts on that, Frank, but that's something I'm very aware of. As you know, we talk about this, like the developer experience, I think could be better in WordPress for sure, and I don't think they're mutually exclusive. But the target market is not developers; it's website owners.
Right, and that's something which has always been the case, right? So WordPress has always been, this is what WordPress is, and you have all these filters, all these actions. If you want to change it, that's cool, right? And if you see what people run on WordPress, from e-commerce to LMS to forums, I don't think WordPress ever said, I want to be a good basis for a forum plugin. Mm-hmm. But you can do it, but it's not something that WordPress particularly cares about, right? So yeah. It's always, you take what's there, you customize it to your needs, and if you're happy with it, that's great. But the thing with WordPress, which is interesting, is that it always has been either no code or low code or lots of code, and it still is, because you could go onto the internet and choose a theme plugin combination, have a real estate listing website within an hour. That's what you wanted, and you don't know how to code. And lots of people, even you know, site builders, what they can do is they know a specific niche. What clients need, they know WordPress, they know all these plugins, and you put websites together, which are good, right? You don't need to write code to have a great website. Yeah. But still, kind of the clients that I work with, like clients spend a lot of money on WordPress websites, and there's a ton of custom code that you can develop for it. And that's kind of the thing where I think when people say it's not so customizable as it was before, it still is, but you need to know how to do it. Because if you made, we have a client, they have their own editor, right? The editor doesn't look, content editor doesn't look at all like WordPress. There's no admin. It's like front-end editing in a sense. And you can definitely do that. For example, Tom Noel, he has Frontity, right? So that's editing on the front end. So that's built on WordPress, and it's not even that much custom code. So it's still very flexible, and you can still do crazy things, but the approach that you need to take is much different, because you need to understand how React works, how you know how all of that works together. It's no longer just a filter where you inject random, you know, HTML into a page, stuff like that. So that's kind of the question of, you know, what does it want to be? Well, still the same as always. And the thing with the admin, I think we talked about that, that's definitely going to change, because right now, if you think about what the next phase is, going to be collaboration. So like Google Docs style editing for WordPress. I'm not really sure they can do it with what's there in the admin. So we're for sure going to see the UI evolve. And the problem with something Ben brings up, the problem with WordPress always is very decides and never very streamlined, because you take all of these plugins, all this custom code, and it looks super hodgepodge, especially because every premium plugin wants to be at the top. And so you cannot compare it to a solution like Shopify, which is one company. They control everything. They control the entire experience. So, of course, it's going to be a lot more streamlined. Yeah. So, yeah, I can understand why people think that's a lot better. But I don't think that, you know, you can make WordPress as good as you want it to make, right? So if your clients complain about the admin, find out what they complain about. Find out whether they are ready to give you money to change it. And if you want, like, you can change it. The same flexibility is still there.
Yeah, yeah. It does worry me slightly that we're going to just jump straight into this new collaboration phase without dealing with some of those issues that have just been sat there for a very long time, like that admin interface. Like, hopefully, like you say, that'll change as part of the collaboration project. But it feels like just simple things like page management at the minute are just so antiquated. Like, you know, you can only see... I know you can change it, but you know, you see your 20 pages and then you click number two and you see the next pages and the nesting's all weird and there's no kind of native drag and drop or organization methods. So it's like things like that just feel way, way behind for, you know, a CMS with the market share that WordPress has. And it does feel like we need sometimes to take a little pause with the Gutenberg project, but I also understand the need to move forward at some kind of pace. Were there any other questions in Ben's comments, he's talked about the Almond UI. No, yeah. So you touched on the Shopify thing. It is a tricky comparison. But yeah, I understand it. And WordPress sites can be built very well, and they can be built pretty badly. I think people have some pretty shocking experiences of WordPress. We get to touch a lot of WordPress sites as part of the work that we like integration work we do. So we see how they're all put together, and they're not always of a particularly high standard. So I can imagine why the experience isn't superb for a lot of people. There's a really good question here from Sam. I'll just bring it up on screen and read it out at the same time. Sam says, what are your thoughts on client training? Do you feel clients are required to have an element of design flair to now build pages using blocks? What can WordPress do to help the end user? I'm just going to quickly give my thoughts on that. I feel like lots of our clients have taken to the block editor fairly intuitively. There's been some kind of weird things that we've had to iron out with them. But I do actually agree that without some level of, I don't know if design flair is the right word, but certainly some kind of design intelligence really helps when putting pages together. Even if you've locked down the experience and the options pretty hard, it's very, very easy to make things look awful. And what can WordPress do to help the end user? Any thoughts on any of those questions, Frank?
I think that you need to look at what the needs of the clients are. So let's say you're working with a company and they have their own marketing department and they want to build out these landing pages. You give them the patterns and they are going to be able to figure it out, right? So here you can give them more freedom, and that's perfectly fine. That's one way to do it. But actually, one of the first client projects that I did with Gutenberg back then still, the way that people built their pages, their homepage was much the same as you described. So these blocks were just like full width, all done modules where they had a post picker in the sidebar. They picked the post, and then the design was laid out in PHP, like looked like the front end. So is that not as good as being able to fine tune everything? Depends on the client. Like this client said, I have journalists that want to build up their homepage. And so they are not going to fiddle with, you know, is this button red or blue? They just want to get the predefined elements that we give them. They're going to put the content in there. They're going to rearrange the post so that, you know, the biggest one is on top. Mm. And the homepage, like the website, handles all of the rest. So the homepage always looks good. And that's perfectly fine, right? I think there's no right or wrong with full set editing. You do whatever's best for your client. Yep. So I think that, yeah, again, it goes down to what your industry is, what your needs for your client are. But definitely, you know, if you're not dealing with the marketing department, you're just dealing with some, you know, client, maybe they're an electrician or, I don't know, a carpenter, they're probably not going to have, you know, the will or the desire to write, to design these pages, right? I use columns, I put this here. So just give them patterns, either patterns that are pre-made and which you lock down so that they can only change the image and then the text, or just build them out blocks which are dynamic. And like you would do with ACF, only in depth, right? So where they pick the content and it looks good, and probably they're going to be very happy with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I think that's great, especially what you mentioned there with patterns. We've started using block patterns on some of our projects, and they're super, super useful for that. So you just design your client a really nice looking layout for a page or a section of a page, and let them drop that on and just edit the content that needs to be edited and leave everything else. Really, really good. Okay, let's get to my next question. So Derek Long responded on Twitter. He said quite a lot, so let's take it bit by bit. So he starts off, as someone who builds sites for clients, how do you handle page templates, as they were once called? He says he's struggling to determine the best way to do this. And he's put in brackets, patterns, reusable blocks, block templates, etc. And I kind of understand where he's coming from here. So can you shed some light on the difference maybe between patterns, reusable blocks, and block templates to start with?
Right, so the pattern is just a combination of blocks. So it can be as simple as a single block, which is pre-configured, or different blocks. And patterns, you choose them, and then they are inserted into the editor, and then you customize it from there. But every pattern is just you, it's a starting point. So whatever you change there, it's just going to be for that specific instance on a specific page, for example. If you have a reusable block, this is actually saved to the database. So whenever you change a reusable block, it's going to update everywhere. And then the other part is when you have a block template, that's usually, for example, if you have a custom post type, for example, a portfolio piece, you would say, okay, at the top, there's an image, then below, there's a paragraph, and then there is another gallery. And so when you create a new post in that post type, this is all laid out in the block editor ready for you. And then you just, you know, it's like painting by numbers. You fill in the content with all of these blocks. But the difference is that when you have a pattern, usually the like a block pattern, this is very much design specific, design centric. Reusable block is often content centric. So maybe you have an ad for something and you're going to change the ad. So everywhere that you put this block on. And then if you have just a starting point, usually the blocks are not pre-configured. It's just, you know, featured image goes here, paragraph goes here. So that's how you do it. The question though is how you go from page templates. That's a difficult question because page templates was kind of the one tool for everything. You know, I need this specific design. I use a page template. I want to have hard-coded content. I use a page template. So we had a bunch of use cases and we just took the same solution for everything. And it was often a quite inferior solution because, for example, you applied a page template and stuff appeared on the front end that was in the editor. So now we're at the point where we need to really look at the use cases that we have and then determine which of these are going to be the best. But probably I'm going to say that if you have, if you need consistency in how content is created, for example, a blog post always needs to have a featured image, then use a template whenever like somebody creates a post that is preset. If you want to give people the tools to build out pages, which are, you know, beautiful to look at, for example, a landing page, but give them the block for the newsletter subscription, give them the hero element, give them all of these as patterns, and then it just put them, you know, on the page and add the content. Yeah. And then the other part is reusable block is, it's very data-driven, so I don't have a good use case besides an ad, but maybe what would be an example? A disclaimer, for example. If you have a disclaimer on your website, that would be a reusable block. It's inserted into every post, and then when you change it, updates everywhere.
We use reusable blocks quite often for like call to actions, like global call to actions. You know, at the bottom of lots of our pages, it will say "get in touch." You know, you'll have a nice kind of CTA section. So, it's quite a good use case. I really annoys me with reusable blocks how the layout doesn't work. So if I set like a full width reusable block, as soon as I turn it into a reusable block, it just sits narrow on the back end in the editor, and then it's full width and perfectly fine in the front end. Don't know if they're going to fix that or if that's a problem with something we've done. I'm not sure, but yeah, super useful. All those, like you say, different use cases for each of those, all very, very useful. So Derek goes on to ask, do you try to control, lock down, or remove certain parts of the block editor for your clients? We've touched on that at the beginning of the show. If so, what parts and how do you go about doing that? I mean, there's all sorts, isn't there? You can lock down nearly anything, so I don't think we can list everything at this point. There is, I don't know the URL, but there's I'm pretty sure there's a page in the handbook specifically about locking things down.
There is a page in the handbook. So what I have, so I have this internal theme, like it's just a repository with the starter theme that I use. And we need to polish that up and then release it, because that's actually one of the biggest asks of students from my course. They want to have like a clean slate. So but it's a lot to remove, right? So we are talking about theme.js removing all of the settings. We're talking about removing the default patterns, disable the pattern directory, remove the block variations. Give them the ability to remove blocks. So I think that the idea is that probably just have something called bare bones FSE theme. It's just going to be a GitHub repository. You pull it down and then you start working from there, because I don't think it should be like a parent-child theme relationship. So it's better just, you know, the starting point is everything is empty. And then if you want to have stuff, you just enable it. And yeah, and the thing is, the very important part when you do that is always say, because the thinking is that people see a block and they say, I don't want to have this block, so they remove it, but then WordPress adds new blocks to it. So you should always just allow this block. Say, I only want these blocks.
Yep.
And then that when WordPress updates. So it's the same approach for everything. Just get rid of it all. Yeah.
So it's like a whitelist approach rather than a blacklist approach.
Right. So whitelist and blacklist would be the old names. I'm sorry. Now it's an allow list and a disallow list.
Allowed and disallowed. Yeah. No, you're right. That is not politically correct anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, that's right. Okay. So allow and disallow lists. But we should do it. We should allow things rather than disallow things for that reason. Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
That way, safe updating. And if you're going to add a theme.json file, add it at the very beginning. Because actually, when you have a project and you want to lock it down, you have a theme.json, you know that very well, Keith. It's going to change a few things.
Yeah.
And you're going to be very upset. So start out with that.
Start with that. That's great. Okay. We have, as I knew we would, we've run over time today. But it's been really great to chat to you, Frank, and thanks for sharing all your knowledge. Is there anything, where should people find you, reach out to you, learn more about you and your courses?
So the website is wpdevelopment.courses. So there is the course that you took, premium course, building block themes, but there's also a starter course. It's called theme.json explained. So that's the thing where I said everybody should just take that. It's free. And it teaches you theme.json. You can combine it with PHP templates. And that's kind of a good point to get like your feet wet and to see, okay, this is really useful even in my very lockdown, you know, agency scenario.
Yeah, I can confirm that that's a great stepping off point is getting theme.json working. The massive, massive benefit for that, apart from all the controls that it gives you, is that the styles on the front end match the back end almost straight away in terms of like color palettes and font sizes and all your typography and everything. So yeah, super, super useful and a great way to get started with, full set editing or block themes or whatever. Frank, thank you again very much. Thanks for watching today, folks. Thank you for your questions. As always, if you want more content like this, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel, or you can find the podcast on your podcast player of choice. If you did like the content today as well, we would always appreciate a like. We don't get very many. We've got a pretty small audience, so every little thumbs up matters. Thanks again, Frank. I'm sure we will be having more conversations in the future, and we'll see you all again soon. Bye-bye.
Great. Cheers.